This is James Throgmorton, and I want to speak to you today about who's really in charge of this world, the world in which we live, this age. You know, a few weeks ago, there was a hurricane that headed for New Orleans because of all the damage that Katrina had done. It, you know, frightened everybody and afraid we're going to have a repeat performance. But we had one American, and I call him that tongue-in-cheek. He's a guy that makes movies, and his name is Michael Moore. And I couldn't keep from being amused at this man's ignorance about God. And this world is ignorant about God, because this man was stupid enough and ill-informed enough about God that he said that now we know there is a God, because just on the day that the Republicans are having their convention, this hurricane is hitting New Orleans, and they're having their convention on the headwaters, and it's hitting down at the where it empties into the Gulf. You know, as if some way, and I don't want to get off on politics. This doesn't have anything to do with politics. It has to do with a modern individual's ignorance about God. Because from God's perspective, to get even with all those Republicans, he's going to hurt all those Democrats down in New Orleans. Now, that doesn't make much sense from any perspective from the true God. You know, there was a Church of God minister not long ago that made the statement that the fires in California that they were having at the time, when it looked like the whole state was nearly going to burn up, was somehow a punishment from God because of California's rejection of a religious leader, one that he claimed was Elijah. Well, here's two examples of people that don't know anything about God. They couldn't hear God's voice. They didn't know anything about his character. And so they make these stupid statements. And I don't hesitate to call them stupid, because they are stupid. God doesn't work that way. About 3 weeks ago, one Sunday morning, I was flipping across some of the TV channels, and I came across a broadcast of a local church there in Pocahontas, and it happened to be the church that I attended when I was a child, a Protestant church. They were singing a song, brought back memories. But it also reminded me of, again, the ignorance of modern-day religion. The title of the song, and it's a beautiful hymn, I guess, but it's not true. And I understand the sense in which they mean it. And I also understand it from my perspective or your perspective. But the title of the song is, "This Is My Father's World." Well, today I want to look at the Bible and find out whose world this really is. The world in which we live, the age, the aeon, the age in which we live. Who is the ruler of this world? Is it God Almighty in heaven? You know, in the Lord's Prayer, Christ's example of a prayer, he said that in there, his request to God was that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that implies that God's will was not necessarily being done on earth. Now, we understand that God has ultimate power, but he hasn't chosen to use that power to intervene on earth. He has left things like it was for purpose, and allowed mankind to go his own way, and allowed the true ruler of this world to remain in power. You know, initially God turned this earth, and I don't have time to go through all the scriptures today, but he turned this old earth over to a great archangel and a third of the angels. This archangel's name was Lucifer. And this archangel rebelled against God, corrupted a third of the angels, and they were cast back down to the earth. But God has never removed that archangel that after he rebelled became, his name changed, and he became Satan the devil. He has never removed him from rulership of this world. Let's look in Matthew, the fourth chapter, verse 8 and 9. And this is where Christ was tempted after John had baptized him, and Christ went into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil. And the devil offered him food and all sorts of things. But one thing that the devil offered him, we'll find in verse 8. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. If you'll let me rule you, if you'll let me be in charge of you, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world." Now, here would be the first perfect place for Christ said, "Hey, you're exceeding your authority. You don't have the authority. My Father is in charge of the world. This is my Father's world. You can't give that." He didn't say that. He just said, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." He didn't contradict Satan in the fact that he didn't have the authority to give these things, because Satan did have the authority. We don't like to think about that a lot of times. You know, we like to think maybe we can elect somebody, or we can choose somebody, or we can do this or that. And certainly as human beings, we try to make good decisions. In the United States of America, we have a measure of participation in those things. But still, ultimately, in most cases, Satan is in charge. Now, people might not like to admit that. Probably offend somebody that might hear this, but I don't really care. Let's go through and see what the Bible says about it, because I can go through just one or two books of the Bible, and it has a massive amount of things to say about who is the ruler of this world. So, you may not agree with me, but if you don't agree with what I'm saying today, you're just disagreeing with what the Bible says. Let's turn to the book of John, the Gospel of John. And you know, the Gospel of John is a unique book in the Bible, and the fact that John had a very close personal relationship with Christ. John conveys some things that you just don't find conveyed other places in the Bible. Things about Christ, about his position, and certainly Christ, his purpose in coming into the world was to eventually dethrone Satan and take charge of the world. And when that happens, yes, it'll be possible to say that this is my Father's world. Christ can say that. But that's not what he says here. Let's look in John, the 16th chapter, and verse 7. And I'm breaking in context, but we need to make these points as rapidly as we can. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come to you, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." That's a pretty plain statement. And you wouldn't find Christ saying, "I'm going to judge my Father." That's totally out of character for him, just like God wouldn't do some of the things that we talked about earlier, you know, just to make some political point for somebody's point of view, or to back up some preacher in his interpretation of things. You know, God doesn't do that. He doesn't do it for them, and He won't do it for me either. And so we need to understand that we're just not all that important. Again, in John the 12th chapter, let's turn back a little. Verse 23, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say unto you, a grain of wheat falls into the ground, and it dies, and it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." You know, that sort of, I don't want to get off on that subject, but that sort of contradicts the way everybody thinks. You know, I keep remembering back to the book that was very popular back in the 60s, I'm Okay, You're Okay. That was a very popular book because the modern philosophy is to pat yourself on the back and say, I'm just fine, I love me. I'm so wonderful. And that's not the way it really is. That's what Christ said. You know, as human beings, we're weak and subject to sin. And it's not very wise for us to like that state. We need to try to achieve something better. We need to try to copy God and have His character and be more like Him. "If anyone serves, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servants will be also. If anyone serves him, my Father will honor. Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Therefore, the people who stood by heard it, and they thundered, and they said it had thundered, and others said the angel had spoken to them. But Jesus answered, "The voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. If I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." And so here he says the ruler of this world will be cast out. He didn't say it had happened at that instant, because it didn't happen at that instant, as we will look at other scriptures. Back over to John, the 14th chapter, verse 28. "You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, and when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me." He doesn't like me. The ruler of this world doesn't like me. That's what it really says there. Let's turn over to John, the 18th chapter, verse 36. And Jesus answered, again, he's appearing before Pilate while he's being tried, and just before his execution was going to take place. "My kingdom is not of this world." And what that means, not of this age, this aeon. "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from here." And so, pretty plain statement there. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly, for I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that it should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Now, I'm going to comment a little bit later on that with another scripture, but if you can hear the true voice of God, then you're in tune with the true God. God the Father in heaven is truly your Father. He is truly your Father. We'll see a little later on in the scripture that Christ actually told the scribes and Pharisees who their father was. No uncertain terms. And it's true of the world today. Because this world, their God, their master, their Lord, is whoever they obey. If you follow Satan's way, the way of the knowledge of good and evil, then you are of this world. And your master is the devil, because that's the product he sold in the Garden of Eden. If you follow God and you hear his voice and you march to his cadence, then you have reached out and taken of the tree of life. It's the same choice that Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. The choice is still there today. The only thing is, it's not something that you can choose. No man can come unto me except the Spirit of the Father draw him. That's what Christ said. You know, I believe that. I don't believe you can choose the Lord. I don't believe you can choose the true Jesus. Because in this world, just like when people presume they're worshiping God, in a lot of cases, they're actually worshiping the devil. And we see that because modern Western Christianity is amalgamated with paganism, all the pagan holidays, even the weekly pagan holiday, the day that is set aside for the worship of the sun god, Sunday. It's pretty simple, you know. I could use the TV commercial and say it's so simple a caveman could understand it, or some other thing. A child can understand it. It doesn't take children very long to learn to count to seven, but most of this world can't, because they're not in tune with God. They're not in tune with God at all. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians and look at a scripture that, modern Pauline theologians that seem to think that Paul somehow nullified everything that Christ had taught in his ministry and his life. They seem to think Paul nullified that. Of course, if you really want to see about Paul's writings, and they're great writings, but they're easy to be misunderstood. You can look over in 2 Peter, I think, in the last chapter, and the Bible gives you a little warning of that. That's a little aside. So let's look at some Pauline theology here. Let's look at what the Apostle Paul said about Jesus Christ. And I'm in the 11th chapter, and let's come down to verse number 4, because Paul understood what was going to take place after his death and then the centuries ahead. And actually, in context here, he goes back and talks about just what I talked about a moment ago, about the fact that Eve was deceived, and Adam and Eve took to themselves the knowledge of good and evil. See, if they hadn't done that, they would have never been exposed to evil. And so they've got a mixture. That's what this world is. This world is good and it's evil. There's good things in the world. People do good things. But they also do evil things. They do very evil things. I know I read on the news the other day online about a mother, and I forget where she was, that killed her 2-year-old son. And because she was on welfare, she didn't want to lose the check, so she put the body in the trunk of her car and left it all summer so she'd continue to get the check. And of course, she claimed that the child fell out of the high chair, but the investigator said that the boy's head was turned 180 degrees on his body. So that tells you a little something. Now, if that's not evil, I don't know what is. But there's other kinds of evil. You know, anytime you break God's commandments, it's evil. But let's see what Paul says. Let's look at this Pauline theology. Don't misunderstand me. Paul was a great apostle, one of the greatest. But people misapply the things that he said. They misuse them. They just plain misuse them. It's talking about false teachers. And, you know, Paul had the Ephesian elders come and meet him. And he warned them about what was going to happen. He told them, of your own selves, men will rise up teaching perverse things, and wolves will come in and tear the flock up. And that happened to the early New Testament church. Let's look at, for a moment, to get it a little more in context, verse 3. But I fear lest some of you, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, never hear much about that, do you? Another Jesus, a counterfeit, one that is not the true Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you in a moment how you can recognize the true Jesus, because there is a way. If he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, nor if you receive a different spirit which we have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. For I consider that I am not an inferior to the most eminent apostle. So Paul established his own credentials here, which was not a wrong thing for him to do, because he was speaking with authority behind this and warning people about another Jesus and another gospel. Well, if we look in this day and age in so-called Christianity, we find another Jesus. We find another gospel. They say, well, who do you think you are? I'm sure that somebody listening to this probably say it. Well, there's a simple way to identify the true Jesus and the false Jesus, the counterfeit that Paul's talking about, the other Jesus. There's a way to identify the true gospel and the false gospel. Now, people don't like it, and what I'm going to say is not palatable to most people, because they're not paying any attention to God or the Word of God. And it's very simple. There's a test to identify the true Jesus and the true gospel, the one that Paul brought, taught, the gospel he taught, and the Jesus that he taught, the one based on the true Jesus, the one that's going to, and he has returned to this earth, become the ruler of the world. It's very simple. You know, I can give a sermon on prophecy, and I'll guarantee you online more people will listen to that. People will replay the CDs, or when I'm speaking, people will perk up their ears and listen. And if I say I want to talk about prophecy, and if I particularly go over here in Paul's writings and talk about the man of sin, oh boy, go to the book of Revelation, and people will listen. Well, I want to tell you something. The man of sin is the test. Jesus Christ was a man of righteousness, and he taught righteousness. He taught the way of the tree of life. The devil teaches the way of sin, and that's what the man of sin is. He is a man of sin. He is a lawbreaker. And as far as the gospel is concerned, the good news, the false gospel is the one that teaches lawbreaking. The true gospel is the one that teaches righteousness, of copying and mimicking Jesus Christ and His life and God the Father, and to try to be like them, not try to be like the world's father, who is Satan the devil. Now somebody's going to say, you've went too far there. Well, let's turn back to John. Let's go back to John, the 8th chapter. And he's talking to the scribes and Pharisees. Now, listen to this. This is maybe the most important scripture that I read today, because it tells you about God. It tells you something about Him, and the fact that, and I'll comment about that a little later. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham didn't do this. You know, Abraham was faithful to God. Abraham is called the father of the faithful because he believed what God told him. He listened to God. You know, in this world, all of us as human beings are usually willing to talk. Few of us willing to listen. But Christ said, you hate me because I tell you the truth. You know, also that's something that Christ said, and he prayed for the disciples that he left behind. He told them, said, the world will hate you because it hated me first. You say, well, the world doesn't hate Jesus. No, the world doesn't hate the Jesus that is the man of sin, the false one that Paul's talking about. They hate the true Jesus, the real Jesus that is the man of righteousness that does it God's way and not the devil's way. That's the one they hate. That's what he said out of his own mouth. You do the deeds of your father. Here he tells them, you hate me, you're trying to kill me. And they succeeded in that. They didn't win, but they succeeded in it. And I guess to a degree they thought they won, because they don't really know yet. Some of them don't know that they lost that battle, because they haven't come up in the resurrection and looked him right in the eye as the great creator God that he is. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. See, they accused him of being illegitimate here. We have one Father, God. This is my Father's world. So right, the old Protestant hymn right back there. This is my Father's world. No, it's not. And Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you were not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. It's not stand for the truth, because there is no truth in him. He speaks lies. He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But I tell you the truth. You don't believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Listen to this verse. This verse, if you can get this in your mind. He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear, because you are not of God. That's pretty simple. You are not of God. This world is not God's world now. Maybe you don't like to hear that, but it's the truth. It's the truth. And I want to remind you something. The people that Christ was talking to here in John, the 8th chapter, the people that Christ were talking to, they were law keepers. They kept the correct day of the week. They kept the annual holy days. They kept the food laws. They wasn't perverted with paganism. You know, all through Christ's ministry, that's one thing you never heard him accusing the scribes and Pharisees and the Jews of that day about, was that they had adopted paganism. It was later that Western so-called Christianity adopted paganism, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which the book of Revelation speaks about, of where Christianity, true Christianity, the religion of Jesus Christ and of God the Father, was amalgamated with paganism. Christmas, Easter, Halloween, and the worship of idols. And, you know, we could go on the whole subject there that I'm not going to go there. Now, let's look in Revelation, the 11th chapter, because Satan the devil did tempt Christ, then he offered him the kingdoms of the world, and like I mentioned earlier, Christ did not say that that's not yours to give. He just said, I'm going to worship God, that the law says to worship God. What we just read about Christ back there in John, Christ was righteous. He was doing God the Father's will. Satan is a rebeller, an adversary. He is the ultimate man of sin. Now, he has human beings that follow that, but that's a simple test. Again, it's so simple that people don't want to do it because it requires them to make a choice to do right. It requires them to do something that human beings like to use the word and like to talk about it, and religious people like to use it, but they don't want to do it, and that's repent. Repent of breaking God's law and try to be righteous. Let's look at Revelation, the 11th chapter, verse 15. Now, I'll remind you a little bit about the book of Revelation. This is an inset chapter. It's the chapter that deals with the two witnesses, and that's an intriguing subject that'll wake people up. But it's an inset chapter, but it actually covers events in regards to the two witnesses. God chose not to put the story of the two witnesses at the end of the book of Revelation. It is in the center of the book in an inset chapter, but it goes all the way to the return of Christ. And in the 14th verse of the 11th chapter, it said, the second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, the seventh trumpet. You know, you might, I'll sort of date this sermon a little bit because today is the Feast of Trumpets, one of God's annual holy day, the first day of the seventh month by the Hebrew calendar, Jewish calendar, and called the Jewish New Year because this is when kings of Israel reigned. Their reign was measured from this day. And I think this is interesting because this is the Feast of Trumpets, and we come up to the seventh trump. You know, when Joshua and the children of Israel, when they marched around Jericho that seventh time, and that seventh trump fell, sounded, the walls fell down, and they took the city. And there is an analogy there. And when the seventh angel had sounded, you know, the Apostle Paul talks about this too, at the last trump. This is the last trump. This is when the first resurrection will occur. It says something here. And the seventh angel sounded, and loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ, and He shall reign forever. When that event takes place, it's a future event. It hasn't happened yet. Until it happens, God the Father, the true God the Father, the great, great God, the ruler of the universe, will not be the God of this world. When that happens, it says the Lord, the Master, and His Christ will take over the kingdom of the world. Christ will receive from God what Satan had offered him if he would sin. Satan offered it to him if he would sin. But he chose righteousness. He chose the tree of life. And now it's all handed to him. Is this our Father's world now? Not yet. Not yet. This has been James Throgmorton speaking to you for the Churches of God.